It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Americans, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in northeastern Washington State. Well, up by the Columbia River next to the Canadian border in Idaho, and that's where we be. And we're up here busting butt, you know, building domes there. We're going to be sharing a lot of that with you probably next week. We're working on how we're going to structure the interface with the internet and how we're going to, you know, are we going to go traditional, you know, the old central plan of whatever? Are we going to, you know, have a, you know, WordPress on Squarespace on blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm willing to do that as long as I got a decentralized backup. But as time is going on, when I start checking into it, how the conditions of and what you're allowed and can't, I'm like, nah, we're going to keep going the path we are. We'll make Freedom's Phoenix, you know, the central hub. We'll go ahead and use our special editions the way we do that, and we develop more on Freedom's Phoenix and get what I want with the ease of interface that I need to be able to not spend the rest of my freaking life editing video and putting graph and going through the process of spinning wheels waiting for all brain damage. And I'm like, no, but we need to have decentralized backup because I know the projects that we're going to do are going to be counter to the desires of they, them, those that won't leave us alone. So we have the IPFS. You know, that's been working pretty well to hold media, and you can do sites on it and everything. It's kind of clunky. But then here comes Qortal. Now, Qortal, you know, their goal is, the way I've been explained to me, is that they're going to be able to take entire web pages and host it on there. But it's going to be its own network. That is, but it has to be free from control of they, them, those. Will that be our primary? That's not the point. The point is when your primary or the DNS server, you know, the 192.69, you know, whatever the hell address that goes to the name, freemsphoenix.com, they, them, those control that, and they go flip, and it's off. They go ding, turn the dial down, push the button, flip the switch, because they can. So we need to wear... they can't. Well, Qortal is one of the, they can't. At least that's the advocacy. Now, we're going to be talking to Mike Winter. He's going to help us out. Now, he is an independent producer, developer with a diverse background in technology, entertainment, live events, and innovative new media that he would like to stay up after he put all the effort in doing it. You know, I bet that's where he's coming from. For over 20 years, he has explored alternative systems for the betterment of mankind. As a co-founder of Alpha Vedic, the Qortal blockchain project, and Music and Sky, he has made it his mission to bring game-changing technology, entertainment, and health sovereignty to the public. Now, he has a podcast. He does, you know, some other stuff. But his project interest in Qortal came from where? When did you come in? Are you part of the original guard? Tell me everything, you know, and what, how you're going to serve our needs. So this is, we're getting close to the time. We're having a lot of meetings here directly. And tomorrow night, I have a, you know, top IT guy for us, on top IT guys for some others and that. And we're going to be discussing how we're going to package data to be able to interface with things like Qortal. From the beginning, a few years ago, when we started PiratesWithoutBorders.com, I said, look, However we structure this, we need to have the data packets and the files and access and API and the RSS and whatever to be able to interface with any and all of the decentralized things. Well, it'd be better if we did that. No, I need to be able to just plug in a stream of data that will go into something like Qortal. So we've set that up in anticipation of you guys. What are you guys? How are we going to make use of you? When is it going to be to where it's going to be, oh my God, man, we better get Qortal because that's the only place we're going to find anything. So what I'm looking for is a backup of ones and zeros that are accessible to me and everybody else. That's it. Without it being censored, deplatformed, de-whatever. How do we got to do that? Well, you're going to have to be noted and you be your own thing, whatever. That's what I need to know. All right. Explain it to us. Go. We'll maybe cut our stream and I'll run the graphics in case we're starting to get bad internet. And I'll just do that. There you're pretty. All right. I'll cut my video cut and you can cut yours now to get a good signal. But
should I'm gonna try cutting my video too because it's breaking up a lot right now.
Of course it is. They them those. So go ahead and turn off your video now.
The gremlins are getting in. Hey, Ernie, good to be back on with you, man. How am I sounding? Can you hear me?
Well, yeah, but you're still video streaming. Hit your video thing down at the bottom. There you go. Now we're going to have a lot better signal. Okay. So, because we wanted to keep streaming.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's reconnecting.
Hey, man. So, yeah, good to be back on with you. We had a great talk a month and a half ago, 2 months ago now. And it's great that you've taken the time to get set up with a node and are now in the Qortal network. And also, yeah, I did see, and I am following it. And hey man, so I am, it was great. I don't know who on your team did it, but I saw that one of your websites is now in Qortal. It's being hosted there. Now, of course, that's just a static version as of now, but at least we're getting there. Right. So that was really cool. And I shared that and I'm trying to get as many people in the Qortal world to go in and follow it and, and upload it and all that.
So I know.
What's that?
Send me the link. So I know. I don't know who did it. You know, I I've been one of anybody. I got all kinds of channels because I just let them do it. Go, man. I don't care. And you know, like my Odyssey presence is a listener that does that because he pulls the MP4s from our IPFS feed and then scripts it and puts it up and does. I'm like, cool, you know, but it, like with what you're saying with Qortal, what it does is demonstrate that it is easy and anybody can do once they get access to the data, which is exactly what I want. I'm not here to control the data and where it goes and out. I want to facilitate it always being available and it can always be accessed because I have 700,000 articles, probably at least 600,000 headline articles on Freedom's Phoenix. I am now, it's getting to the point that I am now breaking 50% of doing searches on my own site so I can find stuff that I knew was there. It's been deleted from the internet. You know, it's, I'm sorry, it was taken down. This is taken down. It's not available. You're on crack. It was never there. Pinky swear, I am Google. And I'm like, BS. I knew that was there. Search my own site. There it is. I need that with all of the data with a platform like Qortal. So that's one question. If we have backup website on Qortal, is it searchable?
Yeah, of course. So the beautiful thing about Qortal, once again, is we've taken the World Wide Web out of the equation. So we're still using the original protocols of the internet that were developed with, you know, ARPANET and all that. But those are just protocols. And that's not really the choke point. The choke point is the World Wide Web, which was developed by Sir Berners-Lee out of CERN in the late 80s. And that was developed in a way to create protocols that could be corporatized. You know, like the DNS, as you mentioned, is a great example. The domain name service is owned by a single corporation, the DNS. It's wild. Do you think that would be like a publicly managed under some sort of public trust or something, you know, that isn't run by anyone, but it literally is a corporation that controls all the real estate on the World Wide Web, which is how 99% of people access the web unless you're smart enough to know how to use an onion router and go in the dark web and all that. So we've seen the power of the dark web, even though it's often used for nefarious purposes, but it does allow for the true kind of access of what the internet can be. So imagine if we were able to build that out, a similar model, but in a actually much more transparent, wholesome, sort of holistic model that uses blockchain and uses actual like complete transparency to allow for the power of the internet to go back to the people. And so that's what really what Cordal is we've taken out the World Wide Web, but we're still using the internet to create our own new network, our own new online community network that is a single platform that essentially gives you everything in one. So it gives you the ability to do secure communication, secure commerce, and secure data hosting, secure trade, everything all in one that is securitized by the community itself, by the blockchain, which has its own unique custom code built from the ground up that is done in all the right ways, you know, open source, transparent, et cetera. And that is what makes Cordal unique, is that it isn't trying to play in the World Wide Web like Web 3.0. So it is itself its own unique, completely separate system. So, you know, yes, we can look at it right now, Ernie, as like a backup, but really that's not even the right perspective. The perspective should be looking at it as more like its own thing, its own community, its own means for essentially creating. It's a very agorist mentality, right? The whole system is built up to be completely off from the dying legacy system. This is the new world.
Let me give some statistics so people kind of understand what we're talking about. When you look at an iceberg and it's kind of, you know, above the waves, you got the little peak, and then the vast majority of the iceberg is underwater. That's how you would look at the surface web. You know, the World Wide Web is only 4 or 5% of traffic. People don't know that. The dark web toward the, you know, banking, you know, a lot of, you know, interaction between corporations and governments and everything and people that know how to do it and whatever, it's 90 whatever percent of the traffic in the world. This is the World Wide Web is just a frothy control Facebook mechanism of make you think whatever MSNBC says kind of crap, you know? So this is not the information that is available to humanity that's been stored, but it needs to be accessible. It needs to be fast. It needs to be convenient for people to use it, for grandma just button up. That's where Cordal comes in. Because I am not of the opinion that I got to be on the World Wide Web. Because when we started activism in the early 90s and this internet thing comes, ooh, got an email. My first email I didn't get until like 91 or something, you know, 92. Well, I was, ooh, you leading edge, you know. Well, what happened was people were doing saving of data on modems accessing their hard drive and their computer at their knees underneath their desk. That was the internet. You had the Fido net, you had Paul Revere net, all these different nets. And then you had the alt net, which was kind of the big servers and universities and saving on space of whatever. It's just wild, wild west, and everybody could do whatever. Then they did the World Wide Web, and then they started, Yahoo became, you know, a search engine of cool stuff, send us your cool links that we can search and put in our thing, and it's cool. Then Google did the robot, kind of start mapping out the entire internet, and here comes the man. So this was, from the beginning, it was AOL, which might as well say CIA. But all of this, as young activists, we could see where it was going. It was going to be a decentralized, we were the internet. And it got hijacked intentionally by the World Wide Web to be a central plan of you're not allowed. And the DNS naming system, when you would put up and, you know, okay, I guess we better get it and get FedEx.com and U-Haul.com and whatever the hell, that was managed by $135,000 a year guy out of Silicon Valley of whatever, and he's dead. And he died. And he's gone. Then what? It goes to ICANN of, you know, they, them, those, somebody in control of, we're in charge now. I'm like, yeah, of course you are. So from the beginning, as young libertarian anarchist activists, we could see the centralization of communication and data that, yes, they were going to infiltrate. Yes, they were going to control. Yes, they were going to propagandize. Yes, they were going to censor. Yes, they were going to deplatform. Yes, they were going to control who does and doesn't get money. Yes. Why? Because they can. And I'm going, you have to make it to where they can't. That's where IPFS and Cordal and the, you know, Matrix servers and all this kind of stuff, that's where that's going. Why? Because there are some people that know it has to. That this is where, if you're going to be able to communicate ideas and trade and economics and barter and have, and that's another thing that Cordal has, is it has its own micropayment system with Cord. It's got its own crypto that kind of powers the thing, but it's not something you can just buy into and get a bunch of servers, you know, or miners to do it. It's time, which is why I got a Cordal node running right over here as I'm looking, just on all the time. Why? Because the time that I spend supporting the network with my CPU or mining blocks or whatever the hell I'm doing, minting or whatever they call it, you know, the time that I do that is what gives me more and more access. And then I can have, you know, follow, I can sponsor other people coming in. This is how we thought the internet was going to evolve and develop as activists in the 90s. This is it. This is one of the mechanisms by which we defeat they, them, those by not putting our eggs in their basket. And they just stomp on them. And you got to run.
And Ernie, why do you think that they, whoever they are, can do this, can force the World Wide Web down our throats? Remember, Al Gore was supposed to be this great savior who, and so, but why? But why? The reason is, beyond understanding what the corruption of government, but why can even government do this stuff? Is because they have fiat money. They control the money supply. And so that was an extremely important aspect that a lot of projects like IPFS are missing, is they aren't providing a sovereign financial currency solution embedded within the system that would allow to would really help safeguard it against the grift and all the corruption that comes when you have loose money or when you have money that's completely manipulated by those who are also in charge of the network. So that was really important aspect of Cordal, is to have that very, you know, hard, that idea of having money for the people by the people that is actually directly connected to the network itself. And so these are things that are hard to wrap our heads around sometimes, because what is money? Well, money has been defined by those in charge for thousands of years and really controlled. Even if you look back to hard currencies, of course, the coinage, the invention of coinage, has always been manipulated and controlled. So, and that's why Bitcoin, right, was such an amazing innovation at first. But look what's happened to crypto. Crypto, why we're seeing the big fall in crypto right now is because the very solution that was supposed to get us out of the system was immediately co-opted back into the system, just like the internet. Same thing happened with the internet. So Cordal, once again, it's very important to take all aspects. So the money side, the governance side, the communication side, the community side, all of that run by the community all in one place. Because if we don't, aspects of it get taken over, especially the money side, and then it gets completely corrupted, and we see what happens. Okay, so that's why Cordal is unique and different.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. You know, what we needed, I give you a good example. The reason we were interested in also you guys talking to the United Kingdom teenager homeschool and vax kids is that they did it on Discord, and then come to find out, Discord can cancel you. Parliament, you know, in the United Kingdom goes, oh, what they're doing is bad, and they're not vaccinated, and they're advocating and not, you know, supporting of, and kind of should therefore be, you know, deleted. So they do that. Well, then we kind of, you know, get them Matrix servers, or they need to do video chat live in the back. A Cordal solution would be an obvious benefit to them. So you maybe want to talk to them about that. I will be talking to representative of that group this coming Wednesday. And there was another homeschool group that would refurb barns and vacant building and retail spaces as like a hacker space for homeschoolers. And they were doing, they want to be in too. Hey, pick up, man. Hell yeah. This is what we want. Just what Cordal is offering. So we're going, all right, we got Matt Hill from Start 9 Labs with the Embassy Pi and all the stuff that they're doing. You know, they're kind of working with them. And, you know, more options, the better. And we'll talk to them about on Wednesday. Because this is the use case for exactly this kind of stuff. But what do they also need? What do I need in a small community of intentional, of leave me aloneist out in a canyon of, you know, bite me? And What do we need? Communication, you know, and an economic model. We need micropayments. We need to have, you know, very inexpensive, if not free, transactions of crypto of value to be able to have your own ecosystem for, you know, how many quart to buy, you know, a quart of milk. I mean, you know, eggs. I'm in a community. I'm up in northeastern Washington right now, and I'm looking out over farms of a small town, and they have a beef cattle thing going. They got a dairy. They got the grocery store. They got the butcher shop. They got gardens. They got farms. They got. And oh, my God, now it's like the freaking orchards are coming in. There is all kinds of fruit and vegetables, and man, rock and roll, whatnot. Who's got what? How much is it? You know, how do I trade? I need, I want, who's got, and go get, and I want to sell.
So you bring up a great thing here. What is one of the biggest, well, one of the hundreds of problems with crypto, but what's one of the biggest traditional problems with using a cryptocurrency as they are known today? You know, like if you go look at CoinMarketCap at the top 10 or whatever, what's the biggest problem with using them as a means to buy a pound of beef, let's say? Volatility, right? Any minute you've got Bitcoin going up and down 10, 20, 30% in a day. And so what did they try to do as a solution? Well, stable coins, let's connect it to some fiat dollar, which is a slow theft. So let's connect it back into the system we're trying to leave, to exit. No, what a terrible solution. Or even worse, you know, let's connect it to some stable algorithm that is the worst grift corruption of all, where we connect it to some derivative that's being played and manipulated in the back. And we've seen, you know, with Celsius and all this stuff, the major fallout with that, and how that's just a big con game. How do we actually define value for an actual community currency? Well, that is through bartering. That's by having an actual free marketplace, not having an exchange, a market where people are working in some sort of, or using it as a casino to essentially buy low, sell high. That is not what free market capitalism, in my mind, should be about. That is the grift. That is the con game. That is what is they manipulated people into believing capitalism is, or at least, sure, you could even call that capitalism. What I'm a fan of is free market, right? Free market exchange of ideas, of energy, etc. So the idea with Cordal is to actually have a real marketplace on Cordal, inside Cordal, where people can essentially create the actual real value of the coin based upon what people are selling and what the community decides a quart is worth for a quart of milk. And if we can get there and actually use it more as an energetic means for bartering, then we could actually have what currency, the exchange of the currency is, right? It's just a current of energy. That's what a currency is supposed to be. It's just supposed to be a mechanism for exchange through over space and time that represents your qualitative, value of whatever you mean to exchange. So bartering, direct bartering is great, but also direct bartering can be limited. For instance, let's say I build homes. Well, it takes me a lot of time and effort to build a cob house home, let's say, or hempcrete home. And let's say you grow, you grow beans. Well, that is a hard exchange. There's only so many beans that you can give me to have a home. So you're going to need to go sell a lot of beans to a lot of different people and then have a representation of that qualitative measurement as a currency to then come and barter and to exchange with me for that home. That's why currency is needed. That's why pure bartering isn't the total solution. We need to have a value system, a value metric system of, you know, that we can use to do proper exchange. Gold's great for that, right? Gold historically has been good. However, gold usually requires a middleman. It requires somebody to be able to say, yes, this is what the value is, or this is how much, or, you know, I mean, traditionally you need somebody to store it, to deliver it, to do all those things. So that's why, you know, the cypherpunks saw the power in creating some sort of digital money that can't be double spent, because it can allow for this sort of revolution of exchange. And so that's what Cordal is planning to be. We're planning to, that's why we never went with centralized exchanges, why we don't, even the trade portal doesn't do the sort of like buy and sell wall kind of stuff that you see in traditional exchanges, even traditional decentralized exchanges with liquidity pools and all this stuff. No, it's simply a trade portal, P2P trade portal. We're trying to get away from this idea of where we define value by screwing somebody over, because that's what markets do. When you buy low and sell high, somebody, some sucker out there is going to buy high because they've been just gotten into it or something, and then they're going to lose because it's going to go low. So with that model, that traditional model of markets, someone's always getting screwed over. Why can't we have a holistic model of exchange where everybody's a winner, right? And that's what CORDL is trying to define through its consensus mechanism of collaborative minting, where everybody's getting equal rewards based upon how much time you put in, and also figuring out ways to have a marketplace where it's just an exchange of like my, what I do, like I paint houses, great. What do you do? You grow, you know, potatoes. Okay, let's figure out how to use CORDL to exchange, because I need to, you want me to paint your house, and I quite frankly love your potatoes. So, right? So that's where we're trying to go with CORDL. And within that sort of ecosystem, imagine how powerful it can be to for content creators to have, yes, a micro financing system, a micro exchange system, where those who are, you know, empowered by your content, Ernie, have the ability to send you micro payments based upon the overall consensus that CORDL is worth so much because of the marketplace defining that via exchange of actual stuff, not buy low, sell high. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, this is what I'm trying to get out of CORDL. I understand all the aspects of people's money. That was the promise when they started with crypto with Bitcoin, is that there's no central plan. There's nobody that can say no. There's no, they go, well, we, then it got to where it was kind of not just anonymous, it was pseudo-anonymous, which means not, you know. So I'm going, well, you could do it if you know Grandma Just Button, she is not available for being private. So then other, you know, opportunities come up in crypto space. But the idea was, even with Bitcoin, was that it couldn't be stopped. You know, that was the big thing. You could do trade. I saw you trade that value with that. I go, yeah, but you didn't stop it, okay? Kiss my butt. Well, we're going to, yeah, you're going to what? You can't stop it. So this is a technology that facilitates something like CORDL being used as the communication, not just the communication of value or a communication of payment or communication of where and how you spend your money. It's communication of what you spend it on. You know, why? It's marketing. It's where it's at. It's how you can connect as a community. So CORDL, they're going, yeah, but then you're isolated from the rest of the internet. Good. You're not. You're confusing me with somebody that cares. If I want to be on the World Wide Web and go out, fine. There's plenty of opportunities for that. I need to have, as it gets worse, and we start to decades of activism and meeting people and adding new acquaintances to our sphere of they're influencing us and we're influencing them. We want to trade and barter, and they're of the same mind of a community, and it's going to be a food thing. This whole thing is going to be a food thing. I guarantee food thing. Then it's going to be, you know, food, water, and go to shelter. You know, it's going to, and it's going to be, how do you provide resources for that? It's going to be able to sell your surplus goods. It's just like they went from the commie socialism of from each according to their ability to each according to their need with the Mayflower Compact of freaking Plymouth Rock. And they come here and they're starving until they finally went, okay, you can keep yours and then sell your surplus. Boom. Vibrant, save their lives. Here it comes. That's where we're going. We're going to abandon this compact of I'm here for somebody else's, you know, stuff, to where I can build mine, have surplus I wish to trade for things you got that I want. That has to be facilitated. That has to be able, people can go to do that. Now we have agris.market, you know, where we forward Black Market Fridays too, that Corbin and I push, and all this to create that market. Well, we have that one webpage.
Yeah, that's the site. Agorist.market is on CORDL. So if you go to CORDL, if you're in CORDL and you go to website / agorist market, or just go into websites and search it, you can follow it. And every person in CORDL right now, I've been telling, go follow it, because every single person that does makes it more resilient, faster, and more distributed. So
well, I've been starting I want to share this with you. I've been starting to get, for the first time, a lot of telegrams, emails, and everything kind of pinging on Agris market. Hey, are you using it? How much are you making from it? Is it going to be, you know, is this the future? And I know these aren't just, you know, there's some random individuals, I'm sure, but they're kind of standard boilerplate, you know, just pinging trolls, trying to get in, be able to market it, which is, you know, a sign of your successful something, you know. So I'm going, okay, cool. But what I need is I want to make sure that I have a mechanism by which we have that it can't be trolled, deleted, or as the individual can have filters. You know, like I can, you know, that's a good question. Let me ask this. In the Cordal universe, when I get all of a sudden in the chat, I'm getting bombarded by here come the trolls, here come the spammers, here come the marketers and so on. And I'm, how difficult, if possible at all, for me to delete or cut that feed or that person can't be on my Cordal interface and chat or something?
That's already, so that we've already implemented. So for instance, in QChat, you've got a troll that comes in because obviously it's a permissionless network, right? So anybody can come in, create an account for free. They can't have a name. There is a small fee to make a name. And because once you make a name on Cordal, that's name set for life. So there is a fee for that. It's like a domain in a way. But better because it's actually decentralized. But that being said, it's all to the user. So you can block that person forever and they go out of your reality. So that's how Cordal is developed. It's up to you to decide who you don't want in your world. There is no censoring. There's no centralized, like even the community can't even vote to like take somebody out. No. So it's essentially block and they disappear out of your interface.
Okay, now, we thought about this when we did the forums on Pirates Without Borders. And the point was, a lot of people said, yeah, if you had blocked and this and filtered, I wouldn't have gone and I want to be free to whatever. And I go, look, just like what you guys are, we're in the same mindset a lot of ways. It's very interesting that we see that this thought process has been replicated. And I'm really encouraged by that. So when you have in the pirate forum, somebody comes in, it's like, wow, man, I need to get rid of all these. Well, you may have a listing. Captain Mark says, these are scumbag accounts and you might want to use this. Fine, I block all these guys because what the hell. Or you start your own. But it's Saturday night. I've been drinking, did a couple of dubs. I'm ready to go to the bilge where all the bilge rats were sent and filtered from. Okay, I feel frisky tonight. Let's go. Are they still available or they're just gone and they never end anywhere where you could go access them if you wanted to?
Oh, so, I mean, you've just blocked it. You can, if you know the code, you can go in. I don't know if the UI right now has it built in where you can unblock them. I'd have to look. I mean, but yeah, it's just essentially all you're doing is hiding it from your view, from your ability to see it in the user interface.
Yeah,
but their account's still there.
I want to troll the bilge. You know, the pirate, they went all stupid and were drunk. I'm going, okay, I'm going to go entertain myself. It's not like I'm deleting it or not available. I just don't want it a distraction. You know, I don't want it. I sure as shit don't want somebody else doing it for me. I want to have my own filters. Now, if I want to go and check out whatever, I go to my spam thing. You know, the only reason I bring that up
exactly
is that you can't be productive.
And you know what, Ernie, real quick,
go ahead.
We found in like the legacy systems that is actually the best way to deal with the troll is not block and delete. So they've known that they have the feedback that you blocked and delete. All you do is hide it from your view, and then they can spiral off and, you know, continue to keep doing their nonsense, but you're not seeing it anymore. So how is it really affecting your life? It's not, but they can keep doing it thinking you're seeing it. And that's actually better because if you end up blocking and delete, they'll go create a new account and come at you again. So I found when I used to be on Twitter, that was what I started doing is I just started hiding them. And that's essentially all that Cordal does in it's just in the user interface. It allows you to hide them out of your reality in the chats. Yeah. And if it's a website you don't like, et cetera. And then you just never see it again.
Well, you know, the one thing is a lot of people, they go, yeah, but then I'm not seeing. Hey, man, you don't have a right for me to have to look at your crap. You can say whatever you want, but, you know, I don't have to read it, you know. And that's one thing that we had as subscribers to Freedom's Phoenix. They would subscribe. And a lot of times they would subscribe to bitch, you know, and they would go, well, I don't like this guy. He should be gone forever and always. So what we did in the back end, when you subscribe, or you can go into your settings and you can select authors that they just don't go on your feed when you log in to Freedom's Phoenix. If you don't like a particular, I don't like that guy. He doesn't have the right position on whatever it is that you don't like. And I go, fine, go ahead and just click this right here. Click this button and you'll never see him again. And then this is exactly what happened when I first started doing that. All these people, and there's a few of them enough that were, you know, giving me a problem. They go like this. They said, yeah, but everybody else can see it. And I'm going, wow, these are central planners. These are people, they want to have a standard by which the site determines what everybody can or cannot see, as opposed to their own personal filter. And I'm going, yep. And that, you know, what is that, a paid for guy? Is it a government troll? That's robot?
That's a slippery slope where we know it always ends. It always ends wrong. Centralized control will always end up with someone getting hurt because it's through force. So what we explain is, have a little faith in the community, have a little faith in humanity. If there's child porn or some sort of like terrorist, you know, cutting someone's head off or something, that's, you know, it's, we always get this, like, that's always the model, like the child porn thing. Well, how can you support child pornography on your network? We're not supporting it, but it's an open network. And if people are, we like to believe most of the community is moral and good people, and the word gets out that that's on there, then block, block, block. Everybody just blocks it out of the reality. And then there's no marketplace for it. There's no place for whoever those denizens are in the deep, dark corners of this world doing creepy stuff, you know, they won't really have a marketplace on Cordal because everyone's just blocking it, because we personally believe we have a community of really moral, upstanding, awesome people because of we don't support grift. We
but
don't support
they
corruption.
Can use the interface and the power of the nodes to be able to do that exact thing. Nuclear launch codes of child porn of whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I understand, but I'm telling you, you know, this is the real world. You know, you free speech is going to have, you know, its ugly, you know, corners of whatever, and that's always going to be true anyway. But my thing is that it's not the knife, it's who wields it kind of thing. And it's a
larger systemic issue of why do we have people in the world that are trying to do that kind of nonsense? Well, because they probably have trauma from the dark, you know, corrupted world that the legacy system is. And so they've been brainwashed or whatever. That's a big, way bigger systemic issue than the network itself. Right. It's like the gun. It's the gun issue, right? It's the same debate about guns. Guns don't kill people. Twisted people, you know, kill innocents. So you can't attack the tool. You can't attack the technology. You need to look at the broader, like, societal scope. And the idea with Cordal is, like, hopefully we're creating a really holistically inclined, like, you know, truly decentralized and not corrupted system, so that it, for the most part, we'll have people using it for the right means. And those who want to use it to do terrorism or whatnot, well, guess what? It's a transparent blockchain. So yeah, there are means of like hiding your IP address, but there are still, I think, if agencies really wanted to come in and track some of that stuff, they
really
could. I mean, yeah, we do have, so with QChat, you can do, there is SHA 256 encrypted point to point P2P ability to, you know, chat with somebody, and that's powerful. We want that because we don't want to be spied on, right?
Yep.
And so the bad guys can use that too. You know, it's a double-edged sword, I guess. If you want freedom, you have to understand the evils in the world. And I think it comes down to a deep philosophical perspective on how you view humanity. Do you view humanity as inherently flawed and evil, or do you view humanity as basically good, and that there are some, there's evil corruption because we've allowed that evil corruption through our own greed and our own avarice and our own, you know, weakness? I kind of go with the latter, where it's like, if you develop a system that tries to stay away from that in all means possible, you can allow for, you know, a much more moral society to thrive, where that stuff kind of gets rooted out and the community won't have any of it.
Because most people are so overwhelmingly decent. Humanity, we'd be extinct by now. But we have, you know, a good percent, 4, 5, 6%, whatever number you come up with, or however many more sociopaths are manufacturing. But you have a percentage that they seek the shiny badges. They seek the authority. They're putting on the lab coats and the stethoscope. They're putting on, you know, the fine hat. They always got the available gun. And they're the ones, they'll create problems and say.
They require the B system. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll create problems. Say, see, these things are, therefore, there must be central control by us to be able to control these bad guys that are doing it. Of course, we were the bad guys doing it. But, you know, that doesn't matter. Well, the thing is I'm going, I can see
exactly.
That good will overwhelm bad as long as the bad guys aren't in central control of what we're doing. So I'm going, nope. Freedom is the answer. What's the freaking question? I need to be able to put ones and zeros where I want them to be housed so they can't be deleted, censored, deplatformed, demonetized, de-everything, and anybody else can have access to that information. If you don't want to get that, don't get it. You know, don't do it. But that you got to have, because what's being censored? We don't hear a whole bunch about, I'm sure there's a bunch of dark whatever the hell that's out there, and I don't look because I don't care. You know, but would I prefer it not being there? Well, who gets to decide? How about the individual gets to decide? How about the family gets to decide? How about mom and dad gets to decide? Grandma and grandpa, the individual. We must be allowed to determine what does and does not go into our minds. Because if we don't, then somebody else is. And I guarantee those that have taken over the control and power of deciding what you get to not see or see is in their interest and not yours. Guaranteed. So we need to have a mechanism by which we can do it. Now, Cordell has, you know, teased me, as have, you know, a bunch of, you know, Steam and Mines and, you know, crypto, whatever, blockchain technology, blah, 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 you know, MadeSafe, you know, got me excited early on for this stuff. IPFS, Cordell's coming on. The thing with Cordell is, after talking to these guys and the mindset, they addressed a bunch of my questions. Yes, you can put anything up. Yes, you can block anything you want. Yes, you can have your own web pages. Yes, you can have private encrypted chat. Yes, you can have micropayments in your own cryptocurrency interfaced with the system. Yes, you get to have your own node that you can put everything on, and you always got a copy of it, but it can be available to other people on the network. Yes, you can determine who you can and cannot, you'll see and feed and read and whatever, and you can do business, and you can do whatever the hell you want. None of our business. Peace out. It's noted. There is no central plan other than to allow you to have your own central plan. You know, what a concept. Individuals get to have their own central plan for themselves. This mindset of even developing this concept is revolutionary in of itself, and I am shocked that it took so freaking long for this to come out. But not so shocked when you realize when Malcolm Gladwell wrote the books David and Goliath and the Outliers and all that kind of stuff. I remember there was one thing he was in there, these outliers, the ones that are really great at stuff, they spent 10,000 hours on it to learn to play piano, the violin, to code, to this, to that, to whatever. It was not until young people, Jobs, Gates, a lot of, there's nothing special, they're so great and wonderful, but they had early access to hardware and software because they were family, had access to computers, and they were high school kids or whatever, and they got the first 10,000 hours in before now then they could start developing something because they understood it. The same thing had to happen with cryptography. With cryptos, once it got like 10 years, I'm going, I tell you, when they hit the 10,000 hour, these guys can start to understand what can be done with this technology, then you're going to start getting Cordells. Now, that's what's going to happen, and that's what happened. So I'm going, all right, we're into the 10,000 hours that these guys have been working with this technology enough, but then to do what with it? Well, they're just getting some venture capitalist guy, you know, in their shiny suit, going over to the kids in the corner of a, you know, crypto event and, you know, telling them how rich they can be and how many babes they can get and the Swiss bikini team and their BMW or whatever if they'll forge another link in the blockchain to the crown for them. And I'm going, no. We give them, you know, Pirates Without Borders, Letters of Captain Mark books and go, look, this is a flight. This is freedom. You know, this is what, you know, give me an out. You know, give me an off ramp. You know, help me, you know, develop something, at least understand when you're being a bad guy and it's not good to enslave people. So these people are now inside, and some of them, like Jason and you and others, they outside. They understood the need for this. They understood what was being done. They're maybe a little bit more mature and experienced, and they could see what was being done. It was a centralized, controlled, plug your head into the matrix plan for your an asset for they, them, those won't leave us alone. So I'm going, okay, I have seen, because I've been patient. It's all about timing. Timing. And it's the time that it's obvious for the need. We were probably a few years ahead of it, and I'm screaming IPFS to these guys going, look, you guys are going to be demonetized, de-platformed, de-everything. You know, watch, here it comes. So I'm going, all right. I wanted to make sure that people understood that this mindset is out there, and it's manifesting itself into things like Cordal. So Cordal is now, here we go. So the people behind it, in your mind, Mike, yeah, we lost you there for a second, but you're back. You know, in your mind, this philosophy came from what? A general need, individuals, money, people that were in other projects, an understanding of us having this need filled came from where, Mike?
Basically, it came from a number of cypherpunk sort of 2.0 generation nerds who saw where crypto was going and were disgusted by it, who saw what exactly everything you just said. Like, hey, man, the whole point of this was to get us back to where we have the ability to make decisions for our own lives on all aspects of our lives, because we know there's nothing good. There's no stopping this technology, the digital revolution, the internet, et cetera. And so it was just really people like Jason is a great example, and a number of the developers who understand natural law and understand these, have a deep philosophical intentionality about the need to have a truly decentralized system like this. And it's really all it is. It's like we are passionate about it and don't care about money. We really don't. I know people roll their eyes and go, come on, there's always a dollar, right? There's always an amount that you can sell out to. And quite frankly, I think it's just the time, Ernie. I think we're now at the time where, like you said, this is ready. Like, the world's ready for Cordal, because there is no amount of money that can buy us off, because what's that going to do? We have left the system that money is from. I could care less about having millions of fiat dollars, or even, you know, if someone wants to try to give us millions of Bitcoin and sell us out, there's just no way to do that anymore. It's not a viable option, because what's that going to get you? It's going to get you more hurt. It's going to get you more of the same old shit that doesn't work. So we're fed. It's really people just fed up and are desperate and not desperate in a way where it's like, oh no, this is, you know, the ship's sinking. It's just like, well, come on, guys. Like, we have the ability to do this right. Let's do it right. Let's find others in the world that see this, and let's just stick to our guns. And it's funny, once you really go hardcore with like what Cordal's philosophy is, it's really easy to stick to it, because it's actually very simple. It's a very simple thing to do. It's just like, stay decentralized. Don't take any VC, don't fall into any Silicon Valley stuff. Like, just don't do any of that, and just do what, a truly decentralized system's meant to be, which is just stay open source, you know? Now there are a lot of challenges with doing this, don't get me wrong. Like, for instance, governance, and then how does the development work, right? Like, because the biggest, for me, like, Sybil attacks, yeah, that can be a potential, especially on a younger network, even though we have more full nodes running and are more distributed than almost every other cryptocurrency project out there. We're right up there with Bitcoin Core now.
And well, how many
we have, like,
you guys got?
Over 6,500, I think, running full nodes.
Cool. You know, this is, one thing.
You were breaking up there. What's that?
No, you answered the question, how many nodes there were, 6,500, and we added more. The one thing that I heard.
Oh, we have like 6,600, I think, running right now, full nodes, because the system's developed to be that way, right? To incentivize everybody to run a full node. And it will, you know, so that's really important. We always knew that was important because look at Bitcoin now, the Bitcoin Core, the BTC, for the largest network cryptocurrency in the world, we are almost at the same amount. I mean, maybe they have, I've heard different numbers, around 10,000 full nodes. I've heard as low as 5,000. It's hard to really tell because it could be the same farm running a lot of the same nodes. You know, but if you go look at the rich lists and everything around Bitcoin, it is pretty darn centralized now. And for me, the thing about Bitcoin is, like, who are the developers? Yep. A lot of the developers are sponsored by major corporations now. Yep. I mean, we know Blockstream, but Blockstream is actually even a smaller minority now.
GoldmanSachs.govCoin.
Exactly. So I don't need to tell you about that. So you know, it's like, so, but what is that is a challenge down the line. And that's why Cordal has the time-based governance models so that we have the ability as a community based upon time, not money, or based upon, you know, influence by a mining, you know, a large mining operation to decide like where the code base goes. The community can decide on, you know, voting on who those developers are coming in to do the commits and you know, basically update the chain. And so the thing with Bitcoin Core, it's like, you know, who are the validators and who are the software developers doing it? Because that is, to me, the biggest, not the Sybil attacks through proof over the proof of work, 51% attack. That I'm not so worried about because it is distributed and so big. It's the software developers that have access to the GitHub repo. You know, that could do an inflation.
So I want people to understand
this.
I always want people to understand this is what we're talking about. Following this, you know, blah, 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 lots of outs, quit it, and doesn't matter. But here comes a bunch of group developers funded by a group called Blockstream. Blockstream had, I don't know, some ridiculous amount, $50, $70 million invested in them from who? A guy named DeCastries. DeCastries was what? He's a big owner insurance company out of France, Europe. They're big money of whatever. Well, guess what? Here is a guy funding Bitcoin Core development through a group that he was funding, and he was chairman of the Bilderberger meetings for 2 years.
Yes.
Do you need to go any freaking deeper than that? I'm like, hello? So this is, you know, neon freaking obvious what was coming. So it already, whatever. But what happened is people have been abandoning, you know, this, you know, well, that's where the money, that's where the crypto, that's where, what have they done? I heard this phrase yesterday, I think it was, when they were going on about Boris Johnson, the prime minister in the United Kingdom, resigning. And one of the guys gets up, one of the members of parliament, and he's screaming, blah, 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 because all his staff had left. And he goes, well, this is, you know, my first witnessing of the ship leaving the rat. So I'm going, that's what's happening with this. Usually it's the rats, you know, leaving the sinking ship. Well, now the ship are the people. The ship is the demand. The ship, that's the ship. What's happening? The ship is leaving the rats. You know, so let the rats be over there. We're over here. This is what I see Cordal as being. It's the ship. It's going to be the mechanism by which we can do it and kick the rats out. And if they, you know, won't do it or don't want them to, you as an individual get to kick the rats out. So this is a totally, totally different way of thinking that we thought as freedom-oriented activists in the 90s that the internet was going to produce this. I am disappointed, not surprised, that I had to wait 20-plus years, you know, 30 years for this to happen, because it took the need for the technology, the understanding of it, and the 10,000 hours of the people that gave a crap to learn it and now implementing it. I give you Cordal. So how supportive am I? Cordal enough that I run Node, I'm doing whatever, just like I did IPFS. That's not the point. The point to me is the goal, that they're meeting expectations on each little thing, the goal towards what we need, a decentralized form of communication that also happens to have a crypto that's incentivized. Is it, what's it worth? Who gives a crap? It's worth what somebody will pay for it. Well, what I was surprised about is Incordal has a wallet, and in that wallet you can, you know, you earn Cordle or you get or sell or do whatever to get some so that you can buy your name and domain. It takes 15 Cordle, which is like, I don't know, 10, 20 bucks or something like that. But that was one thing, and you go, wow, it has a dollar value? Where? How? Well, it's on the exchange. You can trade it with Litecoin, which is on the exchange. You can put in to whatever crypto or cash, you know. So Cordle is worth U.S. dollars. You can go through and exchange it. I'm not even sure I'm happy about that, but, you know, you can. It has value. Do they care? Not really. People are, you know, hoarding it, you know, just like, I don't know, some people buy Dogecoin just for the hell of it, you know, because screw them or something. But Cordle has actual use case on a network that if you really desire a USD payout, you can do it, you know. But it's the ability to be able to trade in a cryptocurrency that it has its own value on its own system for real goods. And I'm going, yep, here we go. And what am I sitting on right now? A small 450-person community in a fertile farmland of whatever that needs its isolation and be able to trade amongst themselves, communicate amongst themselves, and with neighboring communities or farms or whatever. And, you know, the British are coming and I got a text or whatever. So this is what we're also looking at, 3G cell towers that will
And here's the other thing too.
Go ahead.
Ernie, here's the other thing too, is that we got to, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you're in that awesome community. Why can't they just create their own currency, right? And just barter amongst themselves. Well, if we want to replace this legacy, corrupted, centralized, demonic system, we need a worldwide revolution. We need a means of exchange and a means of commerce and communication that can be done from, you know, Nairobi to, you know, Wisconsin. And so that's the power of the internet, right? So, like, to be able to have Cordle connect all of these communities across the world by creating their own group, creating their own chat in there, and creating their own forums and all that, and then having that capability, like, hey, my community over here in Maine makes great axes. Well, awesome. My community over here down south is growing our own rice. Okay, let's do commerce. Let's do it through the Cordle trade portal and through the marketplace that's coming out. And then, of course, you'll figure out maybe there's some enterprising person that's going to start their own shipping company and take on UPS, you know,
Pirate
call it, I don't know.
And the trunks of
action. Yeah. that's why Cordle's needed. You know, it's going to connect the world.
Okay,
I'll
give you a good
example.
There was a television series, Doomsday of whatever the hell it was. It was called Jericho, and it was about a small town in Colorado that was
Jericho. Yes,
yeah, you know, it was outside of the, you know, radioactive cloud plume of who gives a crap. But the thing was, is that they had some. They had farms. They had enough to, you know, kind of, you know, hopefully the crop will come in. They can feed themselves. They had access to water. You know, they got food and water. They had homes, shelter. They can, you know, firewood. They, you know, I mean, they'll survive. But trade for things that they needed, like one town nearby had some manufacturing. They were making windmills for power. So they're going, okay, we want to get that. What do we do? What do we got? They had a salt mine, you know, actual just physical salt. You could preserve food, you know, it's for taste, for health, for whatever. Salt, that's where the term salary comes from, because Roman soldiers got paid in salt. That was their salary. That's how they traded, was salt. So you go, okay, so salt is important. Yeah, they had freaking revolution in India for, can you make salt from the ocean water? Gandhi did that thing. I've had, you know, all kinds of different stories of how they controlled inland tribes of whatever, cut off their access to salt for, you know, blah, blah, blah. So some community is going to have some resource. It's going to be timber. It's going to be some precious metal. It's going to be metals. It's going to be salt. It's going to be, you know, beef. It's going to be whatever it is. The thing that you need is to be able to communicate that, and a medium of exchange to do it. And then you have a supply chain thing. This is going to happen because it has to, because we're humans. We're innovative and we're creative, and we just need to get the man out of the way and we'll take care of business. But there's always the middleman. There's always somebody wanting to come in. There's always, well, that's what crypto did. It took away all of that and the surveillance of it and the tracking of it. Well, of course, that's what they want to get back. When you do a noted communication network between every human on the planet and all they need is a Raspberry Pi, you know, then you go, damn, what does that society look like? How the F do we know? We haven't tried it yet, other than on a local scale in your Merca, you know, in the day. But it's going to happen, and we are going to start to see the word that we've been waiting for all our lives, the promise of the future. And the word is overabundance. It's abundance. We are so abundant. It is going to be, and when you're not abundant in your area and you got a little drought here or, you know, a big storm there, kind of, the others will make up the difference and people will voluntarily help. Just like the bass boats, you know, 600 bass boats going to Katrina, New Orleans to get the people off their roofs, but they won't have a FEMA guy with an M16 in their face saying, you can't go help your neighbor. You got to eliminate the guy with the shiny badge and the gun in your face telling you what you can't do. And I'm going, yep, that's going to happen. How? Through things like Cordal. And it's the mindset and the philosophy behind it. That is what's important. Because was it going to be made safe? Was it going to be IPFS? Was it going to be Cordal? Doesn't matter. It's the idea of what they're trying to... It's going to get perfected. It's going to be used. It's going to become the standard. It's going to be ubiquitous around the planet sooner or later because humanity will survive and thrive, and this is how you do it. Decentralized, oh my God, say the word, free market. A free market. And we haven't had a free market my entire life. They call it, I don't know, capitalism, of corporatism, of fascism, of whatever ism it is, but it ain't free market, I guarantee that. So my big advocacy now is ownership of land. It is mine, 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 mine. My land. I get to do what I want. This is part of what I want to do. So this is my advocacy, is that the land that you have, you purchase, hey, well, we agree this is mine. You know, I feel like I registered it. I got, you know, everybody around kind of, yep, that's yours. Okay, I get to do what I want. As long as I'm not bothering, you know, anybody else, I'm not violating their rights, I'm not interfering with their pursuit of happiness, you know, directly, they can, you know, do whatever the hell they want, and I'm not, you know, I probably wouldn't want, you know, bad smell hog farm next to me in residential bedroom of whatever, you know, or flashing laser lights into my bedroom or some, you know, little stuff like that, or polluting the water, or, you know, you don't want to be an aggressor on your neighbor. But aside from that, I don't give a crap what you have. Build your freaking missile bunker if I don't give a crap. You know, do your heroin in your, you know, subterranean den of, you know, freaking aliens, or, well, I don't give a crap. As long as it doesn't bother me. That attitude and that capability is what we need Cordal and things like that for. And that is coming. We need to get ready for it. You need to prepare your mind. And if you're opposed to such things and want central planning, then you got to, you know, check yourself and find out what you're really about. And because everybody else will, and you will be blocked. So you ain't going to have a say. And then the worldwide, because what did we say at the beginning of the show? Only 4, 5, 6% of information traffic is where you can see it, is above the waterline. It's the peak of the iceberg. The rest of it is dark web. A lot of people don't know that. You have no idea how little of this, and that is the control mechanism. And the very people that are trying to control your thoughts and actions, the tip of the iceberg up there, the vast majority of what they're doing is in the dark. I guarantee it. You know, they're trying to control you, and then the rest of it they're doing privately. Well, this is like, we'd be out in the open, this is what we're doing, and you can't stop it. We're not trying to hide. If we want to be private, we can. But we're not trying to hide it. We want, everybody's all worried about privacy, and nobody's advocating for publicy. I'm the publicy guy. Publicy, publicy, publicy. So this is free speech, in my opinion. So where are we in the process, Mike, for us to be able to start loading entire web pages on and start operating like the World Wide Web, but totally free from it?
So right now, currently, like we talked last time, we have beta going for the QDN, the Cordal Data Network, and that's to load up static websites, 10 megabyte. Maybe it's 50 megabyte now. People have to say what's up in Discord here if you're listening or in DLive.
I think Jason told me they're up to 100 megabyte.
Okay, so I always try to downplay stuff because we never want to overpromise, right? Now, with decentralized development, as you know, Ernie, we can't project timelines, right? This is a new frontier that we're constantly exploring and with the code base and everything. And it is fully decentralized development. We don't have, you know, a VC paying guys 24/7 to be coding out. So, you know, if you guys are listening and inspired and know someone who's a coder, have them come find us in Cordal. Join QChat and start messaging and find me or find Jason. We need more developers. Also, you can donate to the Cordal different web different addresses, Bitcoin and all that, to help our developers pay their bills. But that being said, we're moving. Go look at the Git repo. We have updates almost every week. Right now, the big thing we had to figure out, because we have a completely custom consensus, and with minting, is we did have one issue with self-sponsorship, and until we got that completely, nipped in the bud, because that was one problem with, unfortunately, dishonest people self-sponsoring themselves, and that is not fair for the system. So we're implementing on the next like 3 or 4 versions updates to counter that. So we just did our latest update to reduce the ability of reward shares for people to stop self-sponsorship there. And then we're introducing a memory proof of work aspect basically that all that's doing is it's not affecting the consensus, not affecting the ability to run a node. It's just essentially limiting those who are trying to run multiple nodes on one device. Because the idea, once again, behind Cordal is that each node is supposed to represent one single individual and account. That's really important because that's how the ecosystem can really thrive moving forward. So, and also it's just not fair if somebody is, manipulating to earn more coin through minting by self-sponsoring themselves once they hit level 5. So we're doing everything in our power to counter that and use community to counter that. And we've really found some amazing ways to do that by literally asking our community. And we've already done multiple community votes on how to upgrade the code base to counter that. And so that we have some great movement forward on that. We just had the latest update to limit reward shares to help counter that. And once the mempow and the new algorithm we're launching that will literally be able to see on the chain, because it's transparent, if an account is self-sponsoring itself, they will be then limited their ability to do additional reward shares. So
that is important. Because what happens when you have a totally decentralized mechanism of anything, certainly is something as important as this kind of communication, there are actors, state actors, countries, governments, corporations, malintent individuals, scammers, sociopaths, whatever, that will have the means to go in, sponsor themselves for a whole big farm, and even may even be able to change, have different IPs. I don't know how you're going to get around that, but they have all of this power that then accumulatively they can direct what happens with things like Cordal. And what the point of this has been is you can't buy your way
exactly
in. It's a time thing. So they're going, look, we're trying to make sure that this is the people's coin, the people's internet, the people's storage, the people's crypto, the people's, you know, that you make that possible. And then you're going, very cool. Now, also, I got a question for you on this. If as a community, they create their own Cordal network, how or if it is even possible for them to have only their sponsored group, individual members that can interface with their Cordal neighborhood, you know, their private whatever. Is that even possible?
Sure. So everything is on a single network, but you can create groups already. You've always been able to create groups inside Cordal, and then you can create that as a private group so that you have, and then you can create as many admins you want in that group, and that group can then decide who in that community is in that, and that's completely private. And we will be working on more and more. We have new encryption that we're bringing in to make that even more and more private, so that that can't be, you know, hacked by the NSA, and those identities can't be seen. And then also we are introducing, it's not ZK Snarks, but it's what's the other privacy algorithm that we are working on and actually doing really custom, interesting privacy stuff to allow for a privacy option for court itself. We are supporting R and Pirate Chain, of course, but there are still some privacy issues with cross-chain swapping from court into Pirate that can still somewhat be tracked. So the idea is to have some sort of tumbling or some scrambling option using I'm blanking on that algo, but for privacy within court itself.
Mimble,
because
Wimble,
we do
that
see that there is a very important part. You broke
stuff
up a little bit there, but we do understand there's a fine balance. I agree. There's a fine balance between having public transparency, especially if you have specific groups. The community should be able to decide. Hey, you're running, let's say, a town market. We should be able to have, or let's say, some sort of governance protocol or something for a community. Well, we want that to be transparent because we want to make sure people in charge that have been, let's say, elected in this town square aren't, taking funds and doing things that we don't want done. So we want that to be transparent. That is really powerful about blockchain. That is what is so cool about it. Now, the problem, of course, with legacy mainstream blockchain is that transparency is being, used across the board by the corrupted ones to track regular citizens. And that isn't ideal. But if you in Cordal, we have, the ideal system will be those that need to be transparent will be transparent. The community can make sure people aren't doing screwy things. And then the individual that wants to have privacy, so, the network can't see how much court or whatever they have in an account, then that's really important too, just to stop from, putting yourself at risk of someone coming to rob you or something, right? So
okay,
having that fine balance between privacy and transparency is important.
Okay, a couple of things I want to get in before we finish is James Corbett committed, and I just talked to him Wednesday. He's communicating with Jason Crowe, Cordal, to get him set up. He's got to actually go. Once you get him set up, walk him baby step through whatever. He did it for me, and he's rock and rolling, and he gets to his levels of whatever. Because once he gets to his level 5, then he can sponsor a lot of the Corbetteers, and then here they come. And I'm going, all right, we need to get him done. I know you guys are working on it, so I want to emphasize and, put the task on to Mike Winter to go follow up on that and get freaking Jason, James Corbett together and get that done, because I need to get that done.
The more influencers like James, who Sayer G, I believe, knows James too, and Sayer has been a big advocate for Cordal, like you, and he sees the importance of it, and he has Green Med Info, and on the health side, he's seen the censorship like you wouldn't believe. He's part of the disinfo dozen,
wherever it's important.
But that being said, we need more influencers. We need more influencers to spread the word, because obviously the network only gets stronger with the more people that are aware
of
it.
How close are we?
And because we don't use traditional marketing, we don't go to those crypto conferences and all that nonsense. So we're close. We're getting there. We just need more help. So, but I just want to say, I can, as a founder, Jason, we can sponsor for you guys too. So if you have people that you are vetting to me, send them my way, and I will sponsor them, because you aren't level 5 yet, and I can get them up and minting. So
yeah, when the
please,
hell am I going to
get
level 5? How long does it take to get? I mean, it took me a while to get the 1 because, I'm bad connection all the time, whatever, on the bus. But, it's over there doing. I'm still on, I don't know where, I haven't even looked. But, how long does it take? How many blocks you got to do for your 5?
I was just going into the wiki because I haven't looked at that in a while to see how many blocks that is total. You can go into the wiki under Cordal and look under levels, and it will tell you all of that leveling system here. Now, of course, okay, so let's
see
how
many
does that need to be. but okay, so 345,600 blocks. So whatever that is, like, you know, it's a block minute, around a minute a block. However, it requires uptime, right? So like everybody's network and everybody's uptime to the internet is different depending on.
It's going to be a while for me. It'll be months. So yeah, whatever, you know, which is fine. I'm good. You know, I like the incentive.
Well, that's an important security. That's, well, not only is that an incentive to obviously to keep running your node, but that's a security function too, because we're using time to help protect against civil attacks.
See, it's also an incentive that, that's one thing, you know, there's been other nodes that I've done, but there was no incentive. You didn't get the, where you could sponsor people or you get, you know, rewarded in court crypto and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of gamifying it. It's every time I go by, there's an incentive for me to go look and, oh, it, the internet, you know, connection went down. Oh, this happened. Oh, it needs a reboot. Oh, the Windows doing an update, scumbags. You know, yeah, whatever. So I go over there and I maintain this so that someday in the future, I will have earned the right, the ability to sponsor other people. And that is, and I appreciate you guys being able to, we send somebody, yeah, this is a good guy, one of us, we need to get him up. So we can do that, you know, and I'm more than happy to make sure that that happens. But I tell you, you know, the need for this is so imperative. The need for just the thought process of what is required. And I'm going to ramble a little bit while he's reconnecting. But, you know, the need for us being able to communicate and have a means by trading value, doing commerce, having a crypto. Oh, by the way, and it being recorded, you know, and it being archived, and it being blockchained, and it be, there's so much that this, we've been waiting for, because I don't have the capability of doing it, other than I tell the audience, watch this. It's called quantum reality. I'm going to go and start making effort, making calls, interview people, bitching, whining, and moaning about what I want, and then you watch, it will appear. And it's going to be not only in communication era and everything that we wanted to do with ones and zeros, like with Cordal and IPFS and Maidsay, all this kind of stuff we've been advocating. It's also in other aspects. We just had Scott Horton on talking about the takeover of the Libertarian Party by the Mises Caucus. Well, I'm like, okay, well, I know all these guys. We've been activists and doing this, run for national chair 4 or 5 times. I can't keep track now. You know, just for the advocacy of this. Well, what's my new one now? I am laser beam focused on occupying the land, on attainable housing, on us being able to not be too hot, too cold, too wet, and be able, I'm going to go off and, you know, grow my own food and raise my own children and homeschool. I go, yeah, in what? And how much is it going to cost you? And what are you going to, you know, how are you going to inspire others to do it or get people to help you with it? Or, you know, what do I have to do in your intentional community? What can't I do? And what's your conflict resolution? And all of that, I guarantee, needs a communication network. That is very, that's why on PiratesWithoutBorders.com, the first thing, you know, the letters that we write up there, you know, the letters of Captain Mark and Reprisal and the categories along the top, communication is number one. It always was. You know, followed by energy and shelter and food and water. I mean, they're all, but first thing, I see if you don't have a communication level, anything that you accomplish or benefit from is not shared. Humanity does not benefit, which is why they, them, those sons of bitches think they're in charge. They, them, those that won't leave us alone are always in the propaganda and censorship realm. And if you can get to where they can't, boom, it's over. That's why I'm so excited about this, and I will keep up on the information on this, and also having a better internet connection would always help. So, you know, how far up Uncle Sam's butt Elon Musk is, I don't know, but we'll probably have to go to Starlink. But there's going to be competition. It's going to be mesh networking coming, you know, all kinds of, you know, local infrastructure of whatever your own Cordal thing and your own noted of you're in on the moon. I mean,
well, that's going to be You realize, Ernie, that's a well, that's going to be a big part of Cordal is the actual network connection, which is once we have enough nodes and it's, you know, worldwide and the mesh is going, everybody's running their own redundant systems, then we don't need the ISPs anymore. Or we buy the ISPs out and we make better systems. So we hopefully will have, I know we'll have much better technology for connecting. Inside Corda, we'll be having our own Zoom type. You know, right now we're on Zoom and it's just China spying on us right now, yep, and putting us in a database. This entire conversation is now in a database, yep, that they own that data and they can do whatever they want with, yep, it. So,
well, put, yeah, me down as freaking Neon Flash and Ernie didn't totally agree. Do you agree? Nope, I didn't agree. I totally did not agree. I probably clicked it anyway, but I don't agree. So this is, it's a great inspiration. I just want the audience to know the direction that we're going, and you're a big inspiration for people to demonstrate that it is happening. It is happening the way that we've been advocating for. It is the goal, is the same goal that we have had. So we want to help. We want to forward. Make sure you get James going. I do have some other people that I think would benefit that you'll want to be part of. And a lot of the times, they may not be as big of influencers are with their time and effort and skills as they are with their money. So this is, you guys, you know, just stick with us. You keep doing what you're doing. And I think abundance is right around the corner. Now, in the end, freedom always wins, but it gets really, really messy first. Well, we're just getting into the mess. And it may not be as messy as what we're preparing for, but we are preparing. And part of that preparing is this. So I need to know what you guys need, and you just need more developers to come on board and get over and let's do it. And the meeting that I'm having, a private Zoom between, you know, developer and developer and our developers, it's going to be, how are we going to incorporate this into our mechanisms that we're doing? We've been trying to create our file systems and data feeds and RSS and APIs and all that to interface with any and everybody. So I push a bubble on my back end, you know, my desktop, my workflow, and I do all my own work, and publish over to Cordal, and do it, push the button, boom, done. You know, is that possible? What do you know?
Yeah, anything's possible with Cordal. We'll leave it at that.
Boom! That's what we want to do. So I got the guys that are ready to do it. We've been done, and I think I've made the decision that I'm not going to do traditional, try and be the big net of everybody on the kind of, and then say, hey, we're back to let you know we're over here, you know? And we may do that or have them post stuff up there, but I'm not going to interface with that. I'm not going to be distracted by the comments and the spam and the trolls, and I've been through that before. We're going to go ahead and really be the old guard, the pioneers, you know, the little light, you know, in a smaller development with the principles that we espouse, and be the, you know, the big fish in the small pond or whatever suits me. But if we can be an inspiration and show a use case and be an example, it will flood over as the fist comes down on all the star systems. They're just going to start leaking out. And well, here we go. Well, Mike Winter, Cordal.org, Q-O-R-T-A-L.org, and I'm really glad you came on and got us updated a little bit so we can, you know, share with the people what the goal is, how far we are down that road. We're much, much closer than I think people realize, and you need to start, as a content provider, you need to start getting ready. And we got a lot of the guys that are just sitting there, Union of the Unwanted, all those guys, you know, that been dropped off, and they got their own thing that we participate in, you know, weekly every now and then and such. But like Sam Tripoli, man, he's a tinfoil hat. He's all over it, man. Let's do it, you know. And we got a bunch of other guys that are ready to go. I just need to make sure you're ready to go.
I'm going to go on Sam Tripoli's show. Yeah, I'm going to go on Sam Tripoli's show, probably with Jason Sunni. He said he wants to do it, so that'll be a nice plug for Cordal. That'll get, yeah. And really explain to him, you know, the difference between Cordal and mainstream crypto. I think a lot of people really need that education. And then finally, can I plug one more thing, Ernie? When I'm not doing Cordal or Alpha Vedic or farming, I do events, and I do sovereignty events. which are really important for us to come together in person in the real world and develop solutions and just hang out, right, and have fun. So I do an event called Music in Sky. It's this October 13th through the 16th in Central California. I'd love to, if you could stop by and show up, that would be amazing. It's you know, kind of basically like Burning Man for grown-ups. So what I mean is it doesn't have all the kind of spiritual bypass and leftism that it's like burners who left that world and now are farming and understand natural law. And we talk about, you know, how the, you know, we're all anti-vaxxer, crazy woo-woo folks, but it's a really amazing awake crowd there that come there. And we have all sorts of talks and workshops from natural birthing to foraging and permaculture to talk, you know, talks on spirituality and yoga. And we do ice baths and we dance and we have amazing awakened music acts and stuff. And it's a small curated festival. And that's how, if you go to musicandsky.com, check it out. Corda will definitely be there. We'll probably have a booth there demoing the system. It is off grid. So we'll have to figure out like if we can have a satellite connection or something. But check it out, musicandsky.com. And if any of you have any questions on that, you guys can all email me, Mike at alphavedic.com. That's alphavedic.com. Mike at alphavedic.com. That's my business up here at the farm that I do with Dr. Lando. And we'd love to have you at Music in Sky because it's an amazing community.
Yeah, music. We talked about it last time we talked, we looked at it. Music in Sky is like a, when he said curated, it's like a thing. I mean, they got a lot of built-in things. They got a scheduled thing. It's like bands and things. So it's a thing, you know. So you want to go, it's a thing. So it's, yeah, it'd be on my radar screen. We're going to be so busy building domes and stuff. I'm all over the country. I don't know if I can make it, but I might be enticed. You know, sounds like you might need a dome, but the
well, we are doing a work. We're doing a workshop, and we're training people to become Music in Sky producers. The idea is to centralize it and have it go all over the country, so there'll be Music in Skies popping up everywhere, and that's kind of the new model that we're looking to do. So hopefully, one day you're traveling around, and there's a Music in Sky by you, and you can be there, and I hope to be there too.
Sounds like you need a bunch of domes. Well, we're going to be, you know, focusing on that. Well, the thing is that everything that I do always comes back to the communication between individuals to be able to do commerce, to be able to bypass all the trolling and the controls. And it was here a minute ago. And where's that resource? And because what we're doing when you're inspiring people and educating them on building their own dwellings, you know, that becomes a target. I mean, that's like a thing they do not want. They want you to own nothing and take the happy pill. And I'm going, yeah, well, I'm going to own something and I don't need a pill. So, you know, this is where we're going with this. But I can't leave behind the issues that I know are essential to the success of what I want to accomplish for me and my family and my friends and humanity. And that communication is one that I keep hammering on for just this reason. And if for nothing else that Cordell has done for me has demonstrated that it is not only possible, that it's not only beneficial, that it's being done. You know, hello, don't tell me you can't. It's right here. I've been using it. Okay. So we just, as it develops and we get more and more power for this, I can see what's coming. I'm going, gone pirate, man. Yeehaw. Cordell going to help. Cordell.org, Mike Winner. And give out your Sky project and where they should go. And it's like mid-October, right?
October 13th through 16th, musicandsky.com. You can find out all the information there. And if you want to find me, Alpha Vedic is my kind of where I at. We do a weekly show called AlphaCast. We're going to get Ernie on it. I do it with Dr. Bear Lando. You can join our Telegram at t.me/AlphaVedic. And then we are about to launch our own private platform that will eventually will be fully dynamic on Cordell, of course. And that we are using WordPress because that is an open source content management system. I think WordPress is fine, Ernie. Go with WordPress. Do not go with Wix or Squarespace. Even though Wix has been really supportive, I guess, of freedom of speech, it's still a private corporate company-owned IP-based content management system. WordPress is open source. So the idea with WordPress
software, is you can not the web hosting.
Exactly. WordPress.org, right? You just get, you download the latest version of WordPress, and then you can upload that onto any hosting platform. You can, we're going to host it on our own servers for Alpha Vedic, you know, here at the farm. And then eventually that'll all be up on Cordal, so we won't have to pay expensive server fees. Cordal is free. That's amazing. That's the amazing thing. Literally, the community supports itself through its own, everybody agreeing to run their own node. So it's just, it is the model. It is literally the indigenous village model we're bringing back. Everybody pitch in.
Now, this I'm glad whether it ultimately successful, because what happens when you do this and you're doing it as well as you guys are and it's rounded out, here comes competition from the man. Here comes, you know, oh, no, don't pick them, pick us. And it's, you know, the Castries crap, you know, all over again. So I'm going.
You can't have, but the thing is, there is no competition. Well, competition, it's funny, Rockefeller said it's a sin. And in a way, you know, that was a double-edged sword when he said that, old man Rockefeller said that. But that being said, there is no traditional legacy monetary, you know, capitalization model with Cordal. So who's going to try to come in and compete? A corporation can't tell their board, hey, we're going to come in with this model where we don't make any money. And we just, you know, like, that's the beautiful thing about open source. True open source development is it's about collaboration, not competition. We have someone that's already forked Cordal and trying to do a fork of us. And we're just laughing because it's like, one, you're 7 or 8 years behind, and how are you going to find the kind of developers we have that are literally going to work for almost nothing because they have the philosophy behind it? Might as well just come join us instead.
Yeah, but don't discount, you know, the desire to spike whatever you're doing. You know that.
Oh, we know that. Oh, believe me, we know that. We're always trying to stay ahead of the game. There's going to be every type of institution, every type of three-letter, you know, agency going to be trying to, you know, basically attack the network and in any way they can. So that's why we are putting so much of our effort right now to counter the really the biggest attack vector right now is self-sponsoring. And once we can really counter that, then the civil attacks, we don't really see very many openings right now. But if you guys are listening and are a technology specialist, please come in, a security specialist or anything, come join us, because the more people we have looking at the code and looking at any potential open attack vectors to help us counter that, we really appreciate it. But
well,
yeah,
we're going
we
to be,
that.
You know, have our meeting tomorrow and interfacing with IPFS and Cordal and what we're trying to, how the back end of, you know, because we're not really specifying, customizing it to any one thing. My direction over the years has been to make it to where it's easy to interface with all of these. And it's just a decentralization at its nature, and how can we make our fields, you know, replicate on, and I don't have to reload something or reload a video and just access it from what I already loaded. I'm not doing more than one, certainly with the bandwidth that we have. I got one, Matt Raymer of Content Safe, they're already pulling it from our one file or one server and replicating it on whatever, and one of those can be Cordal. So we're working with these guys on that. The thing is that I can see what the future is going to be, but the bad guys do too, and they're going to have to thwart it with whatever the hell. And this is why, did I ever give you my catapult speech? You know what I'm talking about?
Go ahead. We'll end it on this.
Catapult.
We'll
All right. During, you know, years as this was coming up, over the past, God, 7 years or something, my test for something like Cordal, you know, a lot of people say nuclear codes or child porn or whatever like that. And I go, all right, let me tell you where the test is. There isn't an uprising to get rid of any of these things, except maybe governments are using it as an excuse. Nobody gives a crap. They're just like, yeah, whatever, doesn't bother them. But you harm the hair on one little bitty, you know, kitten, or hell, even a stuffed kitten, you know, a fake kitten, a kitten stuffed toy, they freak out. The internet is freaking cats. So I go, all right, do I get to have my catapult channel? And they go, yeah, you know, we have slingshots, knives, gun. No. Catapults, catapulting little white furry baby kittens into sorrel cactuses, and spines go through their eyeballs and their intestines dripping down on the side of the cactus channel. Because if you do, even if it was CGI, even if it was fake, even if there is a brick and mortar or a place to protest or someone, the entire freaking internet would freak out on there being a catapult channel. They will be in front of your house. I mean, it, you know, nothing to do with it. But if you don't have the capability of deleting my Catapult channel, for anyone that wants to do it, now, of course, you have your own filter. I'd rather not see Catapult, you know, trending. But, you know, if you have that ability to put up a channel that cannot be deleted, well, then you got something. And I use the Catapult as an example because everybody, oh, our policy is a policy. I don't give a crap about your policy. I want to know what your capability is. Do you have the capability to delete my Catapult channel? Well, yeah, I go, well, then you're going to get a piece of paper from the man saying thou shalt delete whatever the hell. Then you're right back to, you know, homeschooled, unvaxxed teenagers in the United Kingdom. You know, same problem all over again. So that's why I use that example. I'm looking for the inability to delete a channel that somebody wants to access and all the bad and evil that comes with that. Because Pandora's box, when you open it, the hope of free speech and communication has to be in there. Because if it's not, then somebody is determining what you can and cannot see, read, understand. Yeah. And I want it to be me. That's my Catapult speech.
Yep, core principle behind Cordal is everything's immutable once it's up in the network, so you have to block it, hide it yourself. It cannot be taken down, and that's a double-edged sword, but that's just the nature of Cordal, and there's nothing I can do about it or anybody can do about it.
That's great to leave it on. It's, you know, freedom's the answer, what's the question? In the end, freedom always wins, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I'm in, man. All right, Mike, you, any new news, you got stuff going on, you be sure to let me know, but I am tasking you with making sure Jason and James, you know, finish their coordinate. I talked to James Wednesday. He said, yeah, you guys are in communicating. They're going to make it happen to do whatever. But I'm going to be a pain in the ass, keep my finger on the button, time and pressure until that gets done. Okay?
Sounds good, brother. Hey, great talking to you, man. Enjoy your time up there.
Awesome! Peace!
Later.